Good evening. The Torah tells us in this week's parsha, Parshas Ki Seitze Lo Ya Kli Gever Al Yisha, Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Yisha, Ki Sovas Hashem Olkecha Kol Osa Eilam. It is an abomination, says the Torah, if a person were to dress in the clothing of the opposite gender. So what we'd like to do this week and next week, this will be a two-parter, because I want to do all the Sinim Kuf Pei Beis in Yerodea, for the halachas pertaining to wearing the clothing or the items of the opposite gender. The two shiurim are not necessarily based on one another, but they'll be related, but you can miss one and hear the other one, and it'll still fit. And we'd like to cover these halachos. It applies broader than just clothing, as we'll see, and it is certainly a very interesting topic. Hopefully for most people, these questions don't really come up that often, but there will be issues that are very practical, in areas that we don't usually think about. The one topic I'm not going to touch under this number, two topics I'm not going to touch that relate to this category is I'm not going to discuss transgender issues. That's only slightly related. That is not for right now. And in addition, there is a sugya in the halachos of Purim regarding cross-dressing when it comes to Purim. That's its own topic as well. Perhaps we'll save that for another time, even though it is related to the issue of cross-dressing. So we have a pasuk in this week's parsha that tells us not to wear the clothing of the opposite gender. The Gemara in Nazir is the main discussion of the Salach and Daf Nun Tes Amar Aleph. The Kedatanya was taught in a Braisa. Lo ya kli gever al isha, mai tam lomar. What do we come to learn from this pasuk? In shelo yilbash ish simla isha v'isha simlas ish, harikvar nemar toeva hi, v'ein kan toeva. Now, ela shelo yilbash ish simlas isha v'yashav bein hanashim. The Gemara gives us a reason for the prohibition of cross-dressing. And that is, in order to dress in a way they can mix with the opposite gender and act in a way that would be inappropriate by pretending the person is a male or a female, i.e. yentl or bosom buddies. Fill in your own reference wherever you want, that one would mix it with the opposite side and act in an inappropriate way. V'isha simla sish v'teisha ben anashim. Same thing, a woman dressing as a man and sitting amongst the men. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. And this is where the halacha moves for a second, and it's not simply about fully dressing up and intermingling, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argues and says, "Minayin shlo teitzei isha b'kli zayin l'milchama." As we'll touch upon, not this week, but we'll see that the Gemara understands from this pasuk and also the Sifri that women should not wear, carry weapons, because that's considered an adornment that is attributed to men. That women should not wear weapons. So it says the Gemara, "Tama lomar le'a kli gever al isha." Just the kli itself should not be on the woman. That a man should not dress in the way of women. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud-Beis, and the Shulchan Aruch here in Yerodeh Kuf Pei Beis Hey, that lo seida ish adei ish kagon shetasim barosha mitznefes okova o tilbash siryon kriyotzei ba. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam understand from Elazar ben Yaakov that you should not even put on one item that is meant for the opposite gender. Meaning, if the man puts on a skirt, and it will be clear to everyone around him that he's not going to fool anyone, that single item is still usur because of kli gever. Not just the mixing in is a problem, but even before that, the single item of the opposite gender is a problem as well. So there's two levels. There's the full dressing like the opposite gender, but also even one item enough is a problem. The Beis Yosef and the Taz and the Grun note that if the item is not noticeable, it's only asur midrabanan. Look in the Beis Yosef here in source number 4. Aval bedvarim hanistarim min ha'ayin. Things that are hidden from the eye. Afal pi shehem mushunim mi'beisha. Kamen she'ena mirin la'ayin. If a person cannot see it, if the man was to wear or the woman was to wear men's clothing underneath the clothing, lo asi la'achlufei behu mi'ish la'isha lefichach einam b'chal isura dekra. It is not asur midoraisa to cross-dress underneath the clothing. Because it would not be a toeva, because there would be no intermingling at that stage. So it's not asur midoraisa, but it could carry an isur derabanan according to these poskim as well. And that will be areas to be lenient when necessary. What's the reason that the single item is problematic? I understand, according to the Gemara, that you cannot totally dress like the opposite gender because it would lead to inappropriate activity by mingling. But what's wrong with the single item itself? What problem is that? Is the Torah complaining against? So there are three reasons given. Not here on the sheet, but we'll go through them quickly. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Lo Sa'aseh Mem that the wearing of this item will cause a person to lean towards this type of behavior. If I wear this single item, it will move my thoughts and actions in that direction. It'll be ma'orer taiva, says the Rambam. Just wearing an item of the opposite gender will arouse inappropriate actions and thoughts within the person. This is cited in Rabbeinu Ephraim Ala Torah, the Bina Sadan, the Maram Shigaz, the Shuvan Kufai and Gimel, that I'll reference again. This idea that the single item is problematic because it awakens inappropriate attitudes within the person. The second reading is the Ralbag here on the Pasuk and the Beis Yosef, who say that it's a geder. If I allow you to wear one item, so then you'll be dressing totally like the opposite gender next week. So we don't allow one item, we have a geder from the Torah. That the Torah sets up its own fence to protect the rest of the mitzvah. And the third reason is the Rambam, who says it's a derech of avodah zarah. The Rambam thinks, or perhaps it was, that in the past it was a way of idol worship to wear the clothing of the opposite gender. This is the reason given by the Sefer HaChinuch as well in Tafkof Mem Beis. So now we have established what the basics of the outline of the halacha is. Who is chayev in this mitzvah? So you would tell me, that's obvious, a man or a woman. But what if a person is neither directly a man or a woman? So let's discuss that. The Sholom Eishev, Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson, in his Sholom Eishev Madura Kamen Chelek Aleph, in Siman Reish Yud, which has the new editions of the Sholom Eishev by Machon Yerushalayim, have just been printed. So you should look at them. They're amazing. All reprinted. Usually the old Sholom Eishev is a very, very tiny print. This is redone beautifully. It'll probably be like 20 volumes. It's very exciting. So he cites a Gemara above Mitzian Daf Samach that's talking about slaves, and the Gemara says that there was an old slave who wanted to dye his hair black so he was able to be sold, so he wouldn't look as old. That's what the Gemara says. So there's a Machlok, so we showed him what type of slave this is. Rashi says it's a regular Eved Kaini, a non-Jewish slave. So from here we see, says the Sholom Eishev, obviously what? That an Eved Kaini, who generally is responsible in mitzvos, like a woman, is not chayv in this mitzvah, this issa, right? Because if the Gemara says that the slave dyed his hair black and will get to dyeing hair later on, which is problematic, so then we see from here that doesn't apply to slaves. Comes the Sridi Eish in a tshuva in Yoredeya, Simon Mem Aleph, and says it cannot be, because, as we just said, an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, is chayv in the same mitzvah as a woman. A woman is responsible in not cross-dressing, and so too, this should be for a slave as well. The Minchas Chinuch clearly says it applies to an Eved Kanani. The Minchas Elazar, the Maram Shik, and others reject the Sholom Eishev, so it would come out that your non-Jewish slave would not be allowed to cross-dress. The Rama in Sifhei says, Tumtum vajonush asurim lesatef ki'isha. One who has questionable gender identity is not allowed to dress like a woman. The Shach implies that such a person should be machmir to only wear clothing that is unisex. Such a person who has questionable identity can only wear things that could be worn by both genders in order to be machmir for this Ramah. And the Darkei Tshuva and the Kenyan Torah B'Halacha discusses the Minchas V'Chinuch is just confused by the whole matter, and he leaves it as a Tzarachin, and he doesn't know what to do. He throws his hands up and says, this is a good question, because it's a whole question. The Minchas V'Chinuch always discusses a halacha in regards to androgynous and tumtum, right? Every single halacha, the Minchas Chinuch applies it to that prism because it will inform you the status of the halacha in regards to men and women. But in this question, which is specifically geared to differentiating between men and women, the Minchas Chinuch doesn't know what to do because of the issues raised here. And he leaves it as questionable. The Tzitz Eliezer writes here in Chelek Chaf Beis Simen Beis, Odos Ish Shinehafech Isha Madino. He has a lengthy tshuva about transgender and a man who turns himself into a woman physically. He concludes and says, Al kein neofinas daiti shibemikra shilifneinu yishla seislo din androgynous o tumtum. When it comes to someone who is transgender, the Tzitz Eliezer says we apply the status of androgynous and tumtum, and therefore it would come out, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, according to the Shach, someone who is transgender would only be allowed to wear unisex clothing because of this question in the Rama. That's how it would come out according to the Tzitz Eliezer. Okay. The Peah Sadcha in Gimel Yudalit and the Sheva Levi in Vav Kuf Yudches says, what about children? You have a kid and he wants to dress up in a costume And so what do we do about that? So the Sheva Levi says, there's chinuch when it comes to lo selvash. You have to be mechanech in children, that boys dress like boys, and girls dress like girls. The Igros Moshe writes in Eben Ezra in Dalad Samach Beis, the age of chinuch for a child is when they have a sense of busha, a sense of embarrassment. So the child will know to cover himself up, and how he dresses. That age would be appropriate to tell them, you dress like boys, or you dress like girls. That is the proper age. The Minchas Yitzchak and Chelek Beis Kuf Ches, so he says there's an Isser to give clothing to a child that is usser for a person to wear. We know there's an idea that we do not hand Isurim to children to eat, right? If a child picks up a piece of bacon and starts eating it, so then, and he's not Higil Chinuch, we don't necessarily have to stop him. But we don't hand Isurim to children. That is a rule across the board. So should you give something, you have a little boy who's 2 years old, and you hand him a tiara for a little girl to put on, would that be a problem of handing him something that is questionable? So the understanding of the Chavadas and the Mishnah Halachas and the Chelen Zayv and the Rosh Sternbach and the Kerem Shlomo has become a go-to sefer. It's not a very big sefer, but has become kind of like the sefer that discusses these issues. He as well says that we do not hand clothing that is usser to children to wear. And others discuss this as well. Rav Ephraim Greenblatt in the Rivos Yovlos in Chelek Beisim and Tuf Pei Tess mentions putting jewelry on a baby by a pigeon aben, right? We cover the baby boy with jewelry. So he says he's not wearing it, it's just adorning the plate, and it's fine, you can put jewelry on the baby. It's not an issue of handing him Isurim. Who sets the precedent? Who do we look to decide whether clothing is male or female? Who makes that decision? That's an important thing you have to establish. J. Crew. So outside of J. Crew, there might be other factors as well. There's the Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelek Dalet Sadi. And he says that if one person goes and starts dressing in a way that's usher, does that mean all of a sudden the floodgates are open, you can do whatever you want? Right? One guy goes and he wears a tutu. That means all of a sudden tutus are allowed for everyone? Says the Rashba, no. Just because one person goes and does it, that is not enough to mean that everyone is now allowed to do it. That has been established. The Prisha writes here in Sif Katan Hay, and it's cited by Rabbi Kiva Eger. We'll look at how he explains it. He says that, in the Dark Hitchuv as well, that Derech Anashim is established by Goyim and Jews. That's what the Prisha says. But it's not clear exactly what the Prisha means. Does that mean Goyim, yes, and not so much Jews? Well, let's look at Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, the Prisha Kasav Nira, Dechol Anashim Goyim, Kevan Denahog Nahog, V'lamdin Miminhag Ahu, Do'ovde Kachavim. You can learn the minhag from Goyim, of how to dress, when it comes to male and female. Gam yesh lomar da'al Yisrael kamar de'hecha de'nehigi kulam ein mochen behem. And even by a Jew, you can look at how they act and establish at what you should object or not. So Levushei Mordechai, in Chelek Aleph, he writes in Yoredeya Simen Kuf, and again this Riyesh, and Yitzhak Abadi here, in the Yor Yitzhak in Chelek Aleph, Yoredeya Simen Kuf, as he says, I am the priest, Shehuva gam kim Rabbi Kiva Eger, al hadaf, there in Shulchan Aruch, doesn't have to be necessarily Jewish people how they dress, but even how a guy dresses can establish whether it is male or female dress. Comes the Maharshan and says in Chelek Beisim and Reish Mem Gimel in Source 8, V'hinei Masha Kosem Medivir Prisha B'din Ha'avartza Sar Dehechi Degam Anashim Avirim, when it comes to removing certain parts hair on the body, Lake Iser Danashim Hainu Akum, you can follow Goyim and establish how Goyim remove hair. He says, when the Prisha says Goyim, yes, and then he says Yisrael, what he's saying is, but really Yisrael. Goyim, not really, but really you should look at a Jew. Person should think that perhaps the Prisha is saying that you can only look at Goyim. No, he says, it has to be only from the styles of Jews, and Chas V'Shalom, you should look at the styles of Goyim. This is the sheet of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, cited in Valei Lo Yibol, which is a collection of questions asked him in Chelek Beis, Rav Menashe Klein, Mishnah Halachos in Chelek Zayin, and the Kerem Shlomo as well.
So this is a disagreement.
So it would come out that ideally, when a person chooses his styles of male and female, it should not be sufficient only to look at how the Goyim dress. You should take into account how Jewish men dress as well, or Jewish women dress as well. There's a tshuva in the Siach Yosef. The Siach Yosef is Rav Yosef Roth. Rav Yosef Roth was one of the Gedolim of Bnei Brak. He passed away about 10 years ago. He lived an incredible life. He grew up in Siberia with his father. He was a big posek in Bnei Brak. So he writes in Chelek Beis and Simon Mem Zayin, and Rav Shlomo writes as well in Shulchan Aruch Agos Aleph Tufnam Vav, that it only takes into account Jews who are Shomer Torah Mitzvot. If you have a Jew who acts like a guy, so that is not a calculation in seeing how Jews act. What's the difference? At the end of the day, if the Jew is acting like a guy, so how could I use his opinion in deciding how men and women dress? It has to be looking at Jews who are Shomer Torah Mitzvot as well.
I have a question.
Yes.
So you're saying to look to determine whether it's the improper clothing, you go to a firm Jew and a guy?
So you should ideally look at a Jew. There are Mekilim who establish you can
only dress in black. I'm telling you, I can't.
Me? I don't have to look at me. You can look at other Jews also. It doesn't have to only be me. Okay, let's move now to issues of body hair. The Gemara in Nazir mentions there are certain practices that have feminine undertones, like removal of body hair, meaning below the neck, that chaverim should avoid. That's what the Gemara says. Chaverim should avoid these things, right? Ho dischayv in source 9, the Negida Kamida Rebbe Yami, Igle Beis Hashefi Chazei Delo Megalech. He saw that there was parts of the body that were not shaved. Arbalahum Rabbi Ame Shafua Din Min Chaverihu. The reason this person doesn't shave this part of the body is because he's a chaver. Okay, what's a chaver? And what does that mean for us? So Rashi says it means that it's usser, meaning any good person should know it's usser to shave these parts of the body below the neck. The Ran says it should be avoided. It's not a nice thing for a nice Jewish boy to do, to act in such a way. The Ramah follows the Ran, that Chaverim should avoid these types of activities that will call questions on the border of whether it is dressing or acting like the opposite gender. The Rambam in his Parish on Demai and the Rashbam Pesachim Kuf Beis both say, what's a Chaver? A Chaver means a Talmud Chacham, someone who knows a little bit of Torah, should avoid these things. Rav Menashe Klein has a tshuva in Chelek Tes Zayin Yud regarding braces. He thinks that braces, being overly concerned with the appearance of your teeth, might border on this idea of things that chaverim should avoid. I think that's questionable because braces are not just cosmetic, but braces also help with the health of your teeth and how cracks and brushing and things like that. So I think that braces certainly would fall under something that we would not have to be worried about, even for those who are very frum. And in the Mechitzas Rabbeinu, which is the by one of the biographies and stories of Yaakov Kamenetsky, so it says on page Kuf Chaf Gimel that Rav Yaakov felt that a man having a feather in his hat might border on the issue of chaverim, of slightly feminine dress. But again, I think that nowadays we barely wear hats outside of the Torah community, and I think the style would be that people put the feathers in hats. I think the Yankee Doodle also put a feather in his hat.
No? Which can change over time, be a factor?
Yes, like the styles depends on the current situation. We do not look back in time, that's for sure. There's a tshuva from Yaakov Castro, who talks about that the styles depend on the current situation and the current mode of dress. Okay, now, shaving a beard. There's a greater discussion regarding beards and Judaism in general. That's a different shear. But one of the things that are discussed within shaving is shaving one's face, a violation of lo yilvash, of acting like a woman. We just want to discuss in particular in this area. There's a famous tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek on the next page in source 13, this is the Tzemach Tzedek of Lubavitch in Yerodea at Simon Tzadi Gimel. He says, Yesh bezagamkein halav delo yilvash gever biyoser bibeshechi ve'erva. You shouldn't be too womanly. And therefore, he says, to shave one's face is usser. V'in came b'misparayim ke'en tar, vade usser. Even with an electric razor. Acha ikar da'afshol ke'en tar usser. Even using a scissor would be a problematic because it would be, well, yildash, to act like a woman to shave one's face. He is not alone in his opinion. We could understand now why Lubavitchers are makbid on not shaving. But the Chafetz Chaim, the Sefer Mitzvos HaKatzar, and the Kli Chemda in this week's Parsha, the Darkei Tshuva, the Chalkas Yaakov, in two places, Chaim Knievsky in Orchos Yosher, in Parakei, his book of Musar that he wrote, says it's Beged Isha, and other opinions as well. There's a long piece in the Pardes Sosef HaChadosh in this week's Parsha talking about Yilbash as well. He raises this issue. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Halicha Shlomo says that it's proper to be Choshesh for the Tzemach Tzedek. that one should not shave because of lo yilbash. So that is the first school of thought. But what do we do with the halonam who do shave? And is it a violation? Comes the chsam sofer and the tshuvas hachadoshas and siman lamed and the mishpatei uzil and chelik bezer adei chavdal the sriyesh. The Devar Shalom, Rav Moshe, Beis Samachay, Rav Moshe Bick also cited in that Shuva, Rav Menashe Klein, and the Mrs. HaMelech, Abiyah Omer, Chelot Tessi, or Deya, all say that it is not lo yilbash to shave one's face. It might be other issues, but certainly it is not a violation of being womanly in shaving one's face. What are the reasons? They give four reasons. The first is that the minhag of Jewish men is to shave. That's easy off the bat. Two is the minhag of Goyim is to shave. Three is, Rav Moshe Bick says, the Isser is not on the Maisa, is on the Maisa, not the Chalos. The Isser of Lo Yilbash is acting in a way, doing something that is feminine or masculine of the opposite gender. But appearing in a way is not the problem, he says. Therefore, shaving one's face is not an action of women. Women generally do not shave their face. Generally, they do not. Appearing with a clean-shaven face may appear feminine in someone's eyes, but the action, the maisa of shaving, is not an action of women, and therefore, says Rav Moshe Bick, certainly it would not be a problem. And in addition, there's a shinui, since we don't remove all the hairs technically, we don't shave necessarily as close as a woman would, or as high up. For those reasons, therefore, the shinui, the maisa, Goyim and Jews do it, is enough to say that shaving one's face is not a problem of lo yilbash. Okay, continuing in the theme of hair and removing hair is plucking white hairs. Can you pluck white hairs if a person feels that his gray hairs are bothering him? So there's a Gemara in Makos, Achaf of Mbeiz, cited by the Rambam here in Hilchos of Avodah Zarah Yud Beis. Look at the Rambam. If one pulls out white hair from amongst the black, Rosho Osekeno from his head or his beard, Mishialkit Sara Echas, even one, because you are acting like a woman and being too concerned with your appearance and being vain. Or dyeing your hair black. For dyeing your hair black if it is gray. So says the Rambam, and so says as well in Shulchan Aruch over here. And again in Hilchos Shabbos. Why is this way to Hilchos Shabbos? Because the discussion of this is regarding on Shabbos. The Gemara says, can you pull out one black hair from white hair on Shabbos? Is that permissible? And the Gemara says, on Shabbos, what about during the week? And therefore, not only is that on Shabbos, but also during the week, to vainly pull out white hairs. Then there's discussion, is there chesi shir? Let's say I only dye half the hair, and all different types of lumdus connected to this shaila. Okay. Writes the Sridiyesh, that this is a din de rabbanan, when it comes to plucking white hairs or dyeing hair black. The Mahari Ashkenazi and the Maram Shikun Kufayin Gimel and the Divrei Chaim and the Karam Shlomo say it is Asur Min HaTorah to dye hair or to pluck white hairs. Writes the Shev HaKahasi in Chelik Vavin Shin Zayin, Rav Shammai Gross, he says it's Mutzer to dye half a hair, and therefore he says if you have a lot of white hair, it's not Asur to pull it out since it doesn't make a difference. Meaning if a person is mostly white, pulling out one white hair, is that going to make a difference? No. And you're going to be bald at the end of the day if you pull out all the white hairs. And therefore, he says something like that would be fine. It's only levenim bein hashchoros, one white hair amongst other black hairs. The Karim Shlomo is machner about this, not doing even one hair. Shevet Gahasi says, if there's a white hair that came out, but it's like stuck in your bearded hair, you can remove it. But you don't have to be worried about that. Let's say you had a white hair that's sitting on your head, but it wasn't still inside. That would be no problem removing. Can you brush your hair if it will remove white hairs? So the halachos katanos and the dake shuvin sivkat and vav say it's a psik resha that's nichale if it comes out. Because if I brush my hair and I want the white hairs to come out, so then I'm doing something that's causing, that could be an isser. Comes the ma'aram shikun and karam shalom and say it's not a psik resha. You can brush your hair, you can brush your beard, even if the white hairs come out, and certainly you can brush your hair for cleanliness reasons as well. Now,
If it's a societal thing, yeah, largely,
yeah,
and we worship youth, yes, whatever, and that's gender neutral approach. Yes. So if somebody, you know, like if a man wants to dye his hair black because in his industry, you know, for a bit, whatever.
So industry is one thing. Well, next week we'll discuss cases where dyeing and things like that are permitted for beneficial reasons. This week we're just going to discuss the baseline isser. There will be heterim later on, but just to get the baseline understanding, that will do this week.
But isn't aesthetics a gender neutral issue?
Not always. Sometimes we can, it is still permissible to say, without being called politically incorrect, that too much grooming is can be too much. It's possible to be too into one's grooming. We can still make such a statement in 2016. Okay, if men start coloring their hair, does it become mutter? So based on what you asked, the Rav Azan writes in Chelek Gimel, and the Karim Shlomo say no. The entire reason it's being done is to project an attitude that stems from a feminine perspective of vanity. And therefore, for women, that's fine. But for men, there has to be a line somewhere, they say. Rav Abadi writes in the Or Yitzchak and in Chelek Beis as well that it's mutter because many men, even if amongst Goyim, dye their hair. So you have Machlokes HaPoskim. I think it's only appropriate when there is a reason. We'll discuss those reasons next week. The Tzitz Eliezer, Yud Gimel Ayin Zion, and the Sheva Levi and Gimel Kofir Aleph say that if a man is bothered by the gray in his beard, the easy thing to do is simply to shave off the beard. And then if you just shave off the beard, then you won't have any gray. And then
you won't be in accord with the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
Then you won't be in accord with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So I'm not sure what they say in the Chabad, you're stuck. But if you live in Bnei Brak or Yerushalayim, you can follow Rav Azner and the Tzitz Eliezer. If you have a problem with the gray in your beard, just shave it all off, because that's not removing white amongst the black, that's removing the whole kit and caboodle, and that would be fine as well. Let's discuss the last topic, which is mirrors. What's with mirrors? Well, we have a comment of the Tur here in source 16. The Tur writes here, Asur l'histakel b'mara l'fishu takshit b'nashim im lo l'tzarech. Using a mirror, and looking in a mirror, is something that women do in order to look at themselves. But is that something a man should be doing? So the Maharsham writes in the Chelek Beis Reish Mem Gimel, this is Asur min HaTorah, the Suri Yesh says it's Asur min Derabbanan, as is the Karam Shlomo, and the Machmir opinion of the Tur is cited in the Shulchan Aruch, and here, and in Kufnun Vav, the Vilna Gaon in Kufnun Vav as well, the Chachmas Adam. So we do have a school of thought that say it should be Asur still nowadays to look and adorn oneself in a mirror. However, comes the Ramah, here in Kufnun Vav Beis, and says Veish Omen, that's only in a country where only women look in the mirror. This be mishum lo yilbash, gever, and that would be something that a man should not do. But if men also look in the mirror in the United States of America, for sure, mutter, without a problem. Even a place where people are machmir, im osel refua shemer ana, if you're doing it for other reasons, refua, the chenagu, says the Rama, not a problem. This obviously opens up to the famous riddle, where can you have two isurim in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch, that if combined, something is mutter. What's the famous answer? Two isurim, that if you do them together, it's mutter. The Shulchan Aruch says earlier, that it's usher to get a haircut from a guy, because there was a chashash that the guy would kill you with the scissors. But the Rama says, if you get a haircut from a guy while looking in a mirror, so then it's mutter, because you'll be able to stop him if he tries to harm you. So you have the isser of looking in a mirror, combined with the isser of getting a haircut from a guy, and you put it together, you come up with a heter. You can get a haircut from a guy by looking in a mirror. So that's a nice quiz.
What's the reason for attributing vanity only to women? It's just demonstrably untrue.
In this generation,
no, even the other generations.
Why the Gemara, the Torah
medieval
takes
times men had. Well, speaking from the guy, and even the wealthy Jews who had it, even in the time of Rome, going back all the way back then, yeah. Even in Eretz Yisrael, the wealthy Jews.
Yeah.
So vanity is something that's been part of all humanity and relatively gender neutral.
I don't know how gender neutral. The Gemara takes the Chazal and the Pasuk takes Yosef to task. That he was being misalsal besarav, right? He was playing with his hair like a nar. It was considered an immature. It was considered an immature thing to do.
Well, there's a certain level. I think it was considered to be immature, except there was the criticism seemed to be more that he invaded too much time.
So
on this.
Again, to be politically incorrect, I think we can understand, especially someone who is married, that when we have to, when we're going out to a chasna. And things are going on, so I think we can show, if we were keeping a clock in the bathroom, we would show that probably our spouse is spending more time in the mirror than we are. Is that a fair assumption without ruffling any feathers?
Not anymore.
No? Yeah, I know you're so into your looks.
Speaking anecdotally, okay?
Yeah.
And not in any way wanting to undermine the principle of political correctness, I see men very, very, they're very stylish. They're looking,
yeah.
I mean, really, I'm talking.
I hear.
You
okay.
know, you so see it too. And because they become more, when I was growing up, guys weren't into it that much. But as the generations get on, it's,
yeah. So perhaps it could be reevaluated based on our current circumstances. But let's sticking to specific cases. So the Rama comes out saying that mirrors are certainly fine. And this is the sheet of the Gittin of Aradim, the Rabbi Kiv Eger, and Shulchan Aruch, along with the Gilead of Maharshah. The Kitzel of Shulchan Aruch says as well to be lenient, as does the Divrei Chaim, Rav Avadya Yosef, and the Karim Shlomo. And therefore, those poskim note that if there is an inyan of chaveirim to be machmer, it would apply to mirrors as well. But since we're not generally machmer for the idea of chaveirim that we mentioned before, therefore, mirrors are not a problem. There's a lot of stories in the Orchas Rabbeinu about the Sipur Mechazinish. The Sipur never looked in the mirror. And Mechazinish also never looked in the mirror. And the two stories told independently in two different Sfarim say that when the Sipur Mechazinish each saw themselves in the mirror for the first time, they didn't realize who it was. They thought that it was, they kept on like dancing around because they thought the person was moving. That they never saw their reflection in a clear manner and they didn't realize who it was. So there were some people who were Machmer. The Divrei Chaim has a famous shuv in Chelek Beis or a Chaim Simen Vav, in which he is against what he calls, if you look here in the last source, Im L'Ros B'Maresha HaTzfilin Yeh Be'emtza. He wants to know about using a mirror to check your tefillin. He says, this is Divrei Boros. This is the words of foolish ignoramuses who check their tefillin in the mirror. Ki afilu im eina mechav nemamish, even if it's not perfect, kasher, it's still kasher. Diadua diyesh makam barosh haniach v'shnei tefillin. The Gemara says there's enough room on the head to put two tefillins. That's how much room there is. So if that's the case, if your tefillin a little bit off, it's still fine. You don't need a mirror, he says. So if it's not proper to look in the mirror to check your tefillin, he finds it to be frivolous and unnecessary. And this is side of the halacha in the Mishnah halachas in the Hei Ches and the Tzitzel Yezer. On the other hand, the Alicha Shlomo Shlomo Zalman Arba Christ in Tefila Dalid, that later in life, Shlomo Zalman would use a mirror since he was unable to correctly sense on his head where the tefillin was, and he used a mirror. And Rav Nevensol writes in his Mishnah Bura as well that one would be allowed to use a mirror. So, it would come out halacha l'maisa. We can use mirrors to look at ourselves and generally in the bathroom, and the minute would be to check one still in the mirror as well, not like the Divrei Chaim. To be continued. Oh, actually, no, there's one more thing I want to talk about. And that is, my apologies, just I want to leave it off, not for next week, is names. The Divrei Malkiel has a tshuva in Chela Gimel that you shouldn't give children names of the opposite gender, because it's low silbash. We live in very confusing times. And it could also be an Ayin Hari, he says, Ruchan Kanyevsky in this week's Parsha, in his Tamid Dekra, that's the sefer he wrote, so he questions that, because he actually gives a whole list of names in Tanakh and Chazal, which only he could do, which seem to go both ways when it comes to names. And the Paris Yosef discusses this as well, and the Otsar Bris and the Alka Yosef, they discuss this issue as well, giving names of the opposite gender, but that we can leave that for another time.
Sure.